Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's pick up. We left off at verse 12. Let's go back just a couple of verses and then try to progress here. As we go forward tonight, I better say this up front so I can at least have an objective, right? Is we're going to get down to verse 12, and I think that's the key, that's the pivot about the Word of God and its function for believers and unbelievers, how important it is, and how it does its own job. I would say how He does His own job. So we find out, let's see, verse 7, we're just going to pick up there again. He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And you think about, we know that God, when we say he limiteth a day, he's the God who's controlling the timetable or the timeline, so to speak. So he knows exactly when that day is, and he can mark that day out, and everything will go according to his schedule. We know from previous, from prior learning, that if God has a timetable, where Jenny was joking earlier, she said that self same day. Well, we know if God has a certain time, if he says it'll happen at a certain time, it'll happen, and it may not be what they think, or the people at the time think, or are even privy to, but we know from looking back that it's exactly like he said it would be. You know, in certain passages where he said, I will surely return, like the angel said, I will surely return in the time of life, where he promised those people they would have children, and they couldn't believe it, but he said, I will surely be back in the time of life, and you will have a son. Well, what's the time of life?
None.
And he didn't come back in, like, you know what, 6 months, 7 months, like a premature, or 10 months. He comes back, you know what, maybe it was 9 months to the day. Wouldn't that be something? Mm-hmm. That's just throwing it out there.
It's a little rabbit trail, but it's something I learned this week, and I thought it was really interesting. I listened to Richard Jordan. But from the day that they came out of Egypt, when the Lord gave them instructions for the temple, the tabernacle, until it was completed, was 9 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what? Man. Okay. All right.
That's,
you know what? I'll say like different things where you might say something and you just say, it's just useless knowledge. and until you're
like that junk DNA.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what, for...
There really is something like junk DNA that it does have a purpose, but up until now,
right. Since you mentioned that, and we'll get back here in a second, is you see how it happens, right? people let the rabbits out.
It's not your fault.
And I got to kill the rabbit. But no, the other night I was looking at the news, and it said, well, they looked at it and they said, well, maybe the appendix does have a function. Did you see that?
No,
nobody saw that.
No, but I saw they did find another organ that up until now they didn't know that we had.
So,
what do they think the appendix is going to do?
Well, you know, I didn't hear, it didn't stick, but I just thought that was interesting where they said, well, it doesn't mean anything, and it's useless, and it's a vestigial part, and all of a sudden, well, you know, maybe not so much. But so anyway. Well, I know one thing. If something goes wrong, it sure does hurt. I remember mine was taken out. So, he's verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. But he had given them his word about going in. And really, all they had to do was go along, trust him, and enjoy the ride. If they believed that it would happen. And look back up at verse 2. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. They heard the gospel as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they heard God's word to them, and they had the responsibility to either believe it or not. And down here he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief by not responding positively to the word of God and his promises or his provision. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You think it seems like that verse is somewhat out of place, doesn't it? When you start reading, you say, where does that come in at? And you think, I think God has given them the point that when they came out with him, mm-hmm. nobody held a sign up saying, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, you know what, let me see all the unbelievers, and they have the sign up and say, this is me. Right. Here's one right here. He said they murmured and complained. They complained to Moses, not knowing that they were really complaining to God. And he told them on occasion, he says, I hear them. He said, they're not murmuring against you. They're murmuring against me. And when they go through, and you know what I like is murmuring is, it's on the inside. It starts, you know, on the inside, and then it manifests itself. If Blake's mad, or if you're mad, you know what it starts with? Silent treatment. Mm-hmm. You know what's the matter? Nothing. But
when somebody says, oh, I'm fine.
But it's, you know what? He can't read your mind, and you can't read his mind. So when the people are coming out, it begins on the inside. It starts, the displeasure begins to manifest itself because it's been festering. And God, he already knows. He already knew. And you know what he did? He tried them 10 times. It was not a hasty move, was it? How many times did he give Pharaoh? 10 times. He gives them 10 times, and he goes through, and he provides. Even though they disappointed him, he still provided for them. They complained about the water, he gave them water. They complained about the meat, he gave them meat. And everything they complained about, he met the need. But they still went on in unbelief. And it won't be this way. Well, God, you acted so hastily. He said, well, 10 times. And you didn't honor me. So And he's it's a warning for those who are listening. He says, for, as further explanation, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Right. It's alive. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Just before you get that far, you know that, you know what? It's capable of doing damage. So, you know what? You know what? I was thinking about the word when I was looking at that word, quick, which is just some incidental stuff. And it's a word, just zeo. And I thought about, it's just those useless things. But, you know, think about all the words that start with Z. They usually indicate life, like zygote.
Zealous.
What?
Zealous.
Zealous. Yeah, well, you know, it's, but I just thought it was interesting that, you know, even Zoe, you ever heard, I know you heard, that's a person, but that means, it means life. But he said the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we talked about that a couple of lessons ago, well, a whole lot of lessons ago, back in Corinthians, but he gives that, he said, it's a discerner. It goes, what, the soul and spirit. Now, I was thinking about this today at work. Is, I'm just going to draw two circles here. We'll say this is the soul right here. The outer circle is the soul. And this is the spirit. And I guess this might, I hope I can do this. The soul is, it's where our emotions are, you know, our feelings. I guess you'd say, you know, your all those external things, lust, your emotions, the feelings, the will, yeah, we can say all the, just the, I think of the soul as a responder to stimuli. Because, for example, you might like music. You can hear music and it can stimulate emotions, mm-hmm. Right? And feelings. And it causes you to maybe you'll have a happy reaction or a sad reaction, but this is all based on, you know, like the external things. You know, if it's cloudy, you feel sad or whatever. But the Word of God said it goes down through those to the Spirit, and I'd say the Spirit is the processing part of us. Where you take information and you look at it logically. Where I think that
it's kind of like the brain.
The mind, I was going to say, exactly. I was going to say it's the mind. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on logic.
Truth.
So when the Hebrews, when they're coming out, they're having a soulish reaction to the circumstances. The circumstances bother them. Not what God said, where we're going and how they should really process it is on the spiritual level. But they're out here.
Well, it should go from the center out.
It was,
and what Satan does,
stuck here.
Flesh goes, mm-hmm, from the outward.
They're stuck here. You know what? I just prove this. I'm thinking to myself. I just listened to something recently, and it brought a very soulish reaction to me. I mean, it was the music was. It was. I'm gonna say amazing. It sounds kind of syrupy, but it was nice, and it not only gave me a soulless reaction, but her words went down deeper because it made me think of some things that's based in the Word of God. But the Word of God, he said, it's sharp. It goes through all this, I would say clutter, to the mind. Let me help a little bit. Paul said this. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. But the things that I do, the things that I want to, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, the things I don't want to do, mm-hmm. I do. The things that I want to do, I don't do. Look at Romans 7. And he says this. He says something real interesting before we move on. He says, verse, I think it's 20, where are we at? 20. The last two verses. Oh. Seven. This is how you know what the Word of God can. It can tell where you are. It can tell where you're functioning.
You're walking in the flesh.
He says, it can tell whether you're a soulish or whether you're a spiritual man. It says, oh, verse 22. 21. 20. Okay, that's it, 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But I see another law in my members. What does he mean, members? I see another law in my what?
Fleshly parts.
In my members. I see another law in my members bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. He said, I see that I'm functioning on a soulish level. I am a prisoner to my feelings and my emotions and my wants and my needs and my lust and my desires and fears, whatever it is. He said, I see this. I see where I am. He said that I see that law working in me. He says, it's bringing me into what?
Captivity
to my members. The tail is wagging the dog. He said, I see that. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I do what?
Serve the law of God.
How?
Resting on
faith.
That's it. So with the mind, I want to embrace the promises that he has for me. But with the flesh, I do what?
The law of sin.
Do you see why he said that I'm a wretched man? Because he said, I haven't yet mastered this process. He said, but the Word of God does. It's able to separate those. And he knows if you're operating what realm you're operating in. You know what? How could he say this to David? He said, in all the things that David did, he said, he did not, he was a man after God's own heart. And he pleased him in all things, save the matter of Uriah the Hittite. But David did a lot of fleshly things. But God knew. He said this. He said that he was a man after his own heart. He knew that David's heart was right. Except that time. Okay. Hebrews. It's a divider asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. You know, the spirit is really where the life of the man is. His spiritual, his functional life with God. It's on the spiritual level. Paul would say this, we are the circumcision that worship God, what? In the spirit. And have no confidence in the flesh. He said, and it's a, this is where the true worship is. And the joints and the marrow, you know, it's, the marrow is in, it's inside the bone. Right, it's inside the bone. That's where, right. That's where the where it produces the red blood cells, and when you get a bone marrow transplant, you don't get a the bone. they don't care about the exterior part, right? They care about what's on the inside. That life giving particle that's in there, and God, he says, I can get past this. I can get past that exterior to what?
Inside.
To the life, to where it really
counts.
Where it really counts.
Sweet spot.
To the sweet spot. Why is he? He said the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the what?
Thoughts
and intents. Wow. Thoughts and intents. Sorry, you know what? I look at this. Thoughts are...
That's
thoughts.
The mind. That's the middle part.
Intents are the mind. And
thoughts are on the external.
Okay.
They're based on external things.
Because random stuff can just pop in.
Random thoughts. Right. Random things, you know what? They run around all the time. You know. But I say this, thoughts are
fleeting.
You know what? I'm just forgive
thoughts.
My right. Yeah, thinking. Thoughts are, you know what? Thoughts are like chickens in the yard. They just run around. But intents are chicken on the roost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm here for a purpose, and I'm gonna stay here until it's done. Like if she's roosting, you can't get a chicken off her roost if she's on an egg. Do you know that?
Yeah.
But if the thought, you can't catch a chicken either if it's running around. That's what thoughts are. They don't land anywhere. They just go through and look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. But intents are like, I'm here. I like Romans 13. It says something like this. It said that... the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Okay. I can't do it. It's gone. Let's see. Romans. Romans 13.
When you said thoughts and intents, it made me think of that chapter in James where it says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust had conceived, and that's sort of like that, you can have a thought that goes in, out. But if you start roosting on it.
When you think of conception, that's the beginning.
Yeah.
So what happens before something is born? There's a gestation period where, you know what? There's some growing there. That's
development.
There's some development. There's some.
You could have a thought that leads to that same intent, or you can have a thought and you can dismiss it.
You know what? Yeah. If like chasing the rabbits, when you see it, I think I can catch that. But
that's why it's so important.
But when you do catch them, then it's an intent.
But that's why it's so important to guard your thought life.
Amen. Okay, verse 13. It says, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but do what? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not intention for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provision to see beforehand. To see beforehand, to make that provision for the flesh. Who doesn't do that? I said, who doesn't do that?
I don't. I mean, I do it every.
So, it's, but you know what? You know what helps you with that to realize where you are? It's the Word of God. Back to Hebrews.
Can I just say that when he says that, though, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that's what direction they're in. Intents aren't just good.
Exactly.
They can be bad.
Right. And you can have...
You can see that.
You can... that's a great point, because some intentions are good.
Right.
You know what? Paul said this. He says, some men, in Timothy, some men's sin go beforehand. Boy, I can see it. You know, this guy, he, some men follow after. And he said, yeah, just misquoting everything now. I'm just going to read it. He says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. You know what I like? I like this last part. He says this.
Where are you?
I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 5.
Oh.
It's, I was going to quote it. There's, but that's good. 1 Timothy 5, 24. He says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. Look at the last part. And they that are otherwise, what? Cannot be hid. That's great. You know, I was thinking about, it was, when I just read that, Prince just died recently, you know, Prince. And he would give secretly. And there was a guy that he was giving a check to his foundation. And it was a nice size check. And he never put his name on it. So he would always send it back. So he sent the check back, and Prince sent the check back.
Cash on it.
And so he said, there's no name on it. He sent it back. Then Prince sent it back again. He said that went on for, you know, for a minute. Finally, he sent his representative, Prince did, over to the guy. He says, listen, the man who's giving you this check, he really wants you to cash this check. And he says, I got a problem with that. He said, I don't take anonymous donors. He said, I got to know who this guy is. And he said, I can't tell you that. He said, but I'll just tell you that his favorite color is purple. And then he said, well, now we got another problem. He said, you're going to have to go back and tell him because I'm never going to cash it. I'm going to frame it. But
you can make a color copy and frame it.
But I thought about that because he tried to hide his good work.
Yeah.
And the scripture said what? They cannot
be hid.
They cannot be hid. So I just read that verse. That was back to intent.
Mm-hmm.
Is some people have good intentions, some people don't. But you don't know. You don't even know why I'm up here. You don't know why I come here every week.
You don't know my life.
I don't know why you come every week.
What are your intentions?
You know what? But he knows.
He sure does.
He knows. And you know what? And he rewards you according to his judgment. Just, okay, he says, neither, verse 13, neither is there any creature, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He said, you know what? With
whom we have to do.
Now, Jenny said, what does that mean? You know what? He started off, he said, the word of God is what?
Quick
and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword. He starts with what you may seem to think is an inanimate object. But he told you that it's what? It's living. And he said, when he finishes up, he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in
God's sight.
No. In his sight, all of a sudden, is personified. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Where the word of God is personified.
Where he spoke it. Mm-hmm. First it was...
He is the word.
Yeah, you're just saying he's created... There's no
way
he didn't create, basically.
And not just that. He said, listen. He said, the word of God is sharper than any what? Two-edged sword.
We read it, and it reads us.
It reads us. But he goes from the word to the person. So, you think, now, it's not just...
Focus into existence.
And you know what? It's not just the speaking part. This is the perception part. You follow me? He said, look, not one time in here is he talking about what he said, even though it's the word of God. He's talking about... He said, is a discerner.
Mm-hmm. I get everything you're saying.
Watch. He said,
with whom we have
he's a discerner.
Dude.
Okay, we get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Okay. I'm stuck.
It's just worded.
Whoa, horses.
Is a discerner. That's where we get critic from. It's a critic. Of the thoughts and intents, where it's not like we think critic, where you know it's good or bad, which it does evaluate that, but he knows how you really feel about this, and he said it's not hidden. How you really feel, Blake, is not hidden from him. He knows what you, when you're at home. You know, a preacher said this one time. We were talking. He said, really? You are what you do in the dark. He's, you know what? You are who you are. You are who you are when nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm. Real reality.
And that's what, you know, a lot of times I sit down and I just get acquainted with me. You ever do that?
Take inventory.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I always come off with the same conclusion.
Oh, wretched man.
You know what?
You have a sister in misery.
Oh, I'm absolutely thankful for what he's done.
No, I come away thankful knowing that I don't have much longer to have to.
Oh, well. And but I just, you know what?
Throw it in the hamper on your way out.
And after being acquainted, after being so long acquainted with him, mm-hmm. When I say him, I mean the old man, is I see him. I see him afar off. But you know what? That's still not enough. Because he, you know what? He pursues, mm-hmm. and overtakes. And you know what? And it just reminds me that, you know, I'm not that good of a guy. You know? But
none of us are, so don't go feeling special.
But I have, you know what? I have a deep consolation because I know my intents.
That's like your action. That's like putting your thoughts into action. Right?
It's, you know, and I'm not saying I got it all down. I'm just saying I know that, what, like Paul said, when he said it done, he said, you know, I know that I want to know him. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I know that the pursuit is on. Like the Hebrews, when they came out, the pursuit was not on. And he knew it. When I say he knew it, God knew it.
And they were following reluctantly.
They were, you know what? He was dragging them.
Right.
They weren't walking with him. And he knew. He said, guess what you won't get? Guess what you won't get?
Rest.
He said, you won't get this rest. There's two guys who did.
Joshua
and some other little ones, he said, I'll save it for them. And he said, and really it's for them out there to come.
I'd like to say something about what you were just talking about. When I, who am in the middle right there.
Oh, okay, right.
When I glance out to that part that's around and judge it as very bad, I remember that he said in that same chapter of Romans you took us to, that part's no longer I. Right?
Right.
But sin that dwelleth in me, that he has allowed me, because of my intents or belief, to separate myself from that. That I know, I mean, it disgusts me. I hate that I'm still a sinner in part, but I know that that doesn't touch the new me that he's going to take to heaven with, and that I'm already that person. Mm-hmm. And the more I know that, the more it helps me to just leave those things behind.
You know,
only looking at the center instead of all of it together.
Well, if you think about it, Ephesians says that we're already seated with him in heavenly places, so he sees us in that completion, because, you know, he's outside of time, and he sees us there. Because he, you know, that day when this corruption puts on incorruption, and he sees us there.
All those verses go together. When he said, you know what, I've already determined that this man will outgrow this man. I already know this. He said, the outward man perish. The inward man is renewed. Be not conformed, but be transformed.
By the renewing of your mind.
Walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh.
So put all your chips on that inside.
You know what? It's the natural man won't pick this up, but this man, he'll pick it up.
Right.
And you say, mortify this man, that this man would profit. And you know what?
This man, starve that one.
Do you know what? With all that said, you know, like Blake said, and this is the great, he said, the day will come. He said that I will know.
Even as I know.
It'll all come to a head. And the thing about, you know what, the thing about this part is, you look at it like it's so bad. For example, like I said, when I'm listening to this music, right? And it's not bass. It's not like, you know, it's not a it's really
song. Huh? You said bass, I was just She listens to it.
I didn't hear
what she said. It's not
Nicki Minaj.
Okay. No, it's not. No.
You said it's not bass, and that was about the bass thing I could think of.
But it was, you know what? It actually stimulated some things, not just on a bass soul level, but it was you know what? I'll get back here in a minute. Just allow me to chase. The wabbit.
The wabbit.
You know, the scripture said this. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Do you know, it's more and more I'm going along, and I was talking to somebody, is that you see that the principal thing is love. It's the esteeming of another person and seeing the value in them. And it becomes more and more clear. And what this, when I heard this, what it did was it stimulated those feelings. Mm-hmm. It stimulated those feelings of for me to love another person on the spiritual level. Mm-hmm. And you say, wow, you know what? The lines, you know, say it's a thin line. The lines are blurred mm-hmm. between just a soulish reaction and a spiritual reaction. And God says, you know what, I can get there. My word, I can get in there. I can get in there, and I know the difference, even when you don't. So that I can get in there and see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Intent, like if it's out of love or not.
You know what? Because when it was no base, it had nothing base to do with it. It was... Like I said, I couldn't discern the difference, but he can. So you know what? He can look at me and say, you know what? You probably didn't know, but that's base, or that's spiritual. You understand what I'm saying?
Because that communication, well, because it seems like what you're describing there as the soul is the way we communicate with the world, just like through
exactly
we communicate with God, right? And somebody through, in a worldly way communicated to your spirit,
right? Okay, great, yeah, exactly. Like David, we talked about this. Yeah. David and Jonathan, scripture said that Jonathan loved David more than his own soul. And they would say, well, they were homosexual. And like, no, that was here. Yeah. So much so that Saul said, hey, man, son, don't you know as long as you feel that way about him, you'll never be king? He was the next in line and everybody wanted David. David was the king. And Jonathan said, you know what? I love him. I don't want to be the king. I want to be with him. Mm-hmm. I want to be his friend. more than I want that position. That's what I'm, you know what? That's what I'm saying is, Saul, he couldn't discern that difference. But you know what? That's what you think about the Word of God. Like you talk about it reading you. You know what? I could, you know what? You sit down and you just take it in, and it'll never steer you in the wrong direction. You'll go in the wrong direction, but it'll never steer you in the wrong direction. And it's the discerner between the thoughts and the intents, the joints and marrow, the thoughts.
Sorry, intents. You said it'll never steer you wrong, and I just thought, unless you're not rightly dividing it.
Unless you're not rightly dividing
it. No, I was thinking of parallels between, like, regular church folk who don't really rightly divide and people who do rightly divide. And it's like, you know, they always stay on the surface. They never get down deep. And even they're always the ones that are all emotion. So they stay on the surface. Yeah. They don't.
They float. Right. Well, and because it's based on, you know what, and when the circumstances change, then this changes.
Mm-hmm.
But when
once
you,
you're grounded, you're set.
Think about this before we get back over here. Paul, where he could have, in 2 Corinthians, he talked about all these things. The fear, the trouble, the everything that was the circumstances that challenged his thought process. And he finally gets through it and he said that when I worried about this, I asked the Lord to help me. And he said, give me straight, Lord. And he said, okay, he said,
therefore I most gladly
my grace is sufficient. For you. Because when you think about this, then I'm working in here.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the soul reaction, and I'm working on the spiritual man. And to get you to not look here, but look at me. If I tell you that I'm with you in the deep, I'm with you in the deep.
Quit looking in the shallow.
Just, you know what don't feel bad. And when he gets through, he can write and say, I've learned. Now what? I learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, because I know that he's working. I'm learning a lesson. You know, When we first moved here, this is back to the thoughts and the intents and all that, is about belief and just the spiritual man. I'll tell you. I was just thinking about when I said about having a love of The biggest thing now, we having all this, you know, gay marriage and challenge and all that was challenging the foundations. And I talked to a lady and she said, you know what, I just found out that my son is a homosexual. What should I do? Grace believer. He grew up in grace. You know, and I said, wow. I said, really? She said, yeah. He said, and he's flamboyant. He's becoming flamboyant, and his brothers don't like it. And it's like, wow. I said, let me meditate on that. Let me get back to you. And you think about it and we'll talk again. So, but anyway, I was thinking about this. When I moved it into my house, I was cleaning up and I found some adult magazines. And so when I was reading the articles, I noticed
You're so mad. How she likes long walks on the
beach. Listen, I was reading the article. I was going to get ready to tell you this. This was over 10 years ago. And the guy said this. He said that, I just thought about this today because I just had this conversation with somebody. She said, what could be so wrong with loving another person? Because that is, God is love. And the highest expression of that love is, listen to me. The highest expression of that love is
passing it on.
Achieved, in the union.
Physical union.
And I just had that conversation. And it made me think about that. And so to tell whether, a homosexual or whatever, that you can't love like that. That's not the love that this spiritual man is talking about. That's out here. Not in here. That's where the line is blurred, where you might mistake lust for a real intent. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about that, and it's like we have an edge by knowing the word of God and knowing you. Like, I know where I am. If I say I love you, you know what? I know where I am. I'm here. Are you listening to me? Okay.
Do you understand?
But you know what? And the Hebrews, when they go through, you can't. Here we go. He says, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You can tell God that I'm here. And you have to, in other words, the day comes where you have to pay the piper. With whom we have to do, there is a day coming where you have to be accountable to the word of God.
So that's the do part.
That's the do. The day they had to do, they were done. The day came for them to have to do is the day that they were. What does Scripture say? That they fell in the wilderness. When he finally came to that point where he says, listen, you can't go in. That was the day. And don't you think that some of them said, why not? We've been out here. We've been following you. And he says, no, you've been out here, but you haven't been following me. Now turn around and wander. And they all fell in the wilderness for unbelief. Was God unjust?
No.
Of course not.
Because he knew their intent.
He knew their intent. He knew their thoughts. He knew their intents. He knew that it was what he gave them was not mixed with faith. And his judgment was just, and it was righteous. Seeing then, 14, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And he's beginning to introduce us to Jesus Christ's high priestly function, from the apostle side of the messenger to the intercessor, the interceder, the supplicator. As him as a high priest. And think about this. Everything that not just what they go through, but even us. The things that we go through that you feel like it's just me. It's just me. Who else is going through this but me? And he says, you know what? We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The infirmity is this. It's unbelief. It's whatever, you know what, whatever comes up in this circle here that challenges this. That's the infirmity, is where it will say, don't trust God for that. Or don't trust God for this. Or you can't really believe that promise. And you say, this is so hard to do. And you think about the son, he says, come here. Come here. And he said, just, you know what? You just put your arm around you. Hypothetical. And just tells you,
it's going to be okay.
It'll be okay. And you said, well, how do you know that?
Said.
Not just that, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I've been tempted to not trust him. I've been tempted to doubt his provision. You know, I've been tempted to doubt his love, an unconditional love. You know what? He sees us. He sees us and he still loves us. When I say, you know what? All the failures, he sees us and he still says, you belong to me. Isn't that good news? And he says, seeing that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is when you get to that situation where, you know what, I'm going to check out on this one. Mm-hmm. Faith. I'm going to check out on this one. And he says, come. Boldly. You know what? You don't come in like, you know what? Kind of creep in. You know what? There's a young kid. You know what? Maybe when it's bedtime, you know what? She comes creeping in. And she says, what do you want? Can I? No, you know what? He says, come boldly, or you just come on in. And I got a question. It's like, what do you do with this? And he said, to find help, find grace to help. That means it's there. To find grace to help in time of need. That's,
well, just specifically since he's talking to the Hebrews, besides that it's a principle that we can apply, but specifically to them, this is really talking about during tribulation, right? That they're going to have to go through.
It's coming.
This is an
escalation, because the time is coming. Like, they're going to be out there, and the opposition will be on. Mm-hmm. And you won't just be walking around like we are, you know. Can you imagine, suppose that it's your time to come here and there's a barricade from Summer to this street, a checkpoint. Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
You got a Bible on you?
Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
You packing heat.
Where are you going and why? And you're going to slide under the seat. Like, I'm going to the immigration building. Yeah.
So much of the world where that's true now.
Yeah, well, it's coming.
Right. So, but
it's in a security building.
Yeah. Right. You can say yeah. Yeah. Right. But it's not just that part. But it's the focus it was, whatever it is that keeps you in unbelief. Mm-hmm. To find it for us, to find grace to help in time of need is, and really for us, the time of need, well, my helmet's on pretty tight. For grace to help for us is when you're not walking so right, so straight, and not thinking so spiritual, where to then you fall back on his promises that there's a oneness there that will never. Romans 8, we're going to close with this. I don't know about y'all, this is good. That's the verses. The verses. 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through our good works. Through our faithfulness. No. Through our what? Through what? Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you persuaded? Are you fully persuaded? I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. I love it. And we have an edge. And to sum it up, to make you think I stayed on track, the Word of God knows this. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. He knows whether you're persuaded or not. And he's always seeking to persuade. All right, let's stop there.